You're listening to The Parting Shot with H. Allen Scott.
When I was a kid growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, a common trip for us would be to Springfield, Illinois. We'd go visit Abraham Lincoln's home there, his office, other museums, and of course, his burial site. When you're from that region of the United States, learning about the 16th president is just kind of expected. In fact, for most kids in the U.S., Lincoln is one of those presidents that most Americans probably know something about or were taught about. We know he freed the slaves, and we know that he was assassinated, which, let's be real, is probably more than most people know about any other president. Go on, tell me something about Benjamin Harrison. I'll wait. But one thing the new Apple TV Plus limited series Manhunt showed me is that there's so much more to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln I didn't know, particularly the manhunt for his assassin, John Wilkes Booth, and the perilous state that democracy was in at the time. I mean, I knew the Civil War had ended shortly before the assassination, but I had never known that it was literal days before the assassination, like 6 days, insane. In the series, Tobias Menzies, best known for his Emmy-winning performance of Prince Philip in The Crown, plays Edwin Stanton, the U.S. Secretary of War under Lincoln, as he leads the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth. What's so interesting about the series is it's part historical drama, but it's also kind of part true crime thriller. Even if you aren't into historical dramas, I have a feeling you might like this one. It's different, trust me. I spoke with Tobias about the series, its parallels to the struggles that we're having as a country today with our own democracy, you can think about that all you want, and the unique perspective that Tobias brings to the role as a Brit. And yes, speaking of British things, I did ask him about The Crown because I'm obsessed and I can't help myself. I rewatch it all the time. I need more seasons, especially with all this Kate drama. I need more of The Crown. So, go on and grab a snack because I will be right back with Tobias Menzies.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The project is amazing. I binged it. I watched it all. Fantastic. I'm from that region. Well, I'm from the Missouri, Illinois area. So we would often go to Springfield to sort of have the Lincoln Day, if you will. And it's just a very much a part of my upbringing. So I wanted to know what this project and story meant to you. What appealed of it to you, you know?
Yeah, because obviously I'm not American, so it's not part of my country's history. I think what drew me to it was it's a compelling story, and a one that I didn't know a huge amount about. And I feel like this may be true for quite a lot of viewers. You know, I knew that Lincoln had been killed in a theater, but that was about as far as my knowledge went. And then to see, yes, the sort of the complexity of that event, for example, the fact that it happened days after the end of the Civil War, and that death threw that, you know, the result of that war into question, how long it took to find John Wilkes Booth and his conspirators, and in a way, the fact that it spoke to a country that was still completely riven. And all those ingredients were very fresh to me. And I guess it felt like a really interesting story to be telling at this moment, because it speaks to how fragile, you know, democracies can be and how they can turn on individuals and very specific moments. And the killing of Lincoln and what was lost through that assassination is a big part of the story that we're trying to tell in this show. And yeah, it felt a really rich area to be digging in.
I remember reading a book. I also read a lot about like royal history. And I remember reading a book about Queen Victoria and some of her letters and how she was so struck and like hit by the assassination of Lincoln and how much it hit sort of and even what she wanted to do in England. So I wanted to know, like, I don't even know how much of the history even still resonates today. It's such a part of our American culture that we talk about this and we commemorate it. How much of it is a part of, do you remember any of it in your life, knowing anything about this history other than just the assassination?
No, not really. I was never taught it at school. And so that's certainly, I think, was a big part of why Monica wanted to make it. And I felt strongly about it too, is that, yeah, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this story. It's hard to escape the feeling that, you know, there are resonances that are really kind of important. Because obviously, you know, arguably, you know, it's looking like you're going to have Trump on the ticket again.
Yeah.
You know, you've gone through quite a turbulent few years in terms of, again, you know, the strength or fragility of democracies. And these are crisis moments in countries' histories. And I think you can learn a lot by sort of looking at, you know, precedent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what the loss of that one man, the loss of Lincoln at that moment,
mm-hmm.
make the argument that the history of African-American people in America would have been very different, could have been very different if he had lived another sort of 5-10 years. Obviously, it took another 100 years for the civil rights movement to earn that community, you know, voting rights and land rights. And those were all on the agenda in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, had Lincoln lived. And that's a very different history. You know.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's what's so fast. That's what I thought was so fascinating about it, is sort of how the sort of the fragility of democracy in a lot of ways, and how and of a union in general, and like how it resonates today. And that was something I was thinking as I was watching, is like how much of the story parallels from the story did you see in sort of, you know, like in modern day history and what we're dealing with, and like how it seems almost timely in a way, you know, like the themes at least.
Yeah, I think it was absolutely in everyone's mind. I know it was a big influence for Monica, that, you know, she felt it was very timely story to be telling ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a big reason why Apple were interested in making it, because I guess it's the sort of great man theory of history, isn't it? That these, you know, someone like Lincoln can make all the difference. Mm-hmm. Whether they're dead or alive does change history.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that Stanton really feels in the story, that he knows both a friend has been lost, but also an important figure in his country's story has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger is that the tide will significantly turn in a different direction if he isn't able to resist the forces that have committed that deed.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, I mean, the two leads, you and John Wilkes Booth, you're both played by British actors. I mean, you're British actors. Yes. And I thought about sort of 12 Years a Slave, too, sort of the disconnection of the lead being a British actor, in that you don't have necessarily the weight, because I mean, in the U.S., it's such a part of our culture, both, of course, the history of slavery and also just the history of Lincoln in general. And we have all these preconceived notions of how these stories should be told, because we've been told them time and time again, but oftentimes from points of view that were sort of skewed and stuff. So having an outsider come in and play this part that isn't necessarily deeply connected to the story, I think actually, in my opinion, benefited sort of the viewing of the project, because you're able to see it with fresh eyes. I wanted to know sort of your response to that, and if you thought maybe kind of being an outsider benefited you in playing this part.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate that, because, you know, it's not without its trepidation to take on, you know, these important figures in your country's history. And Stanton, I think, definitely deserves to stand in that canon. And one of the things I hope will come out of this show is that, you know, he will be given new consideration, because I think he's a very, very important historical figure. I felt a lot of responsibility. But maybe right. It's hard for me to speak to that. You know, I hope that I'm able to bring enough kind of insight, and maybe some of that is about being an outsider. I can see it a little more clearly. Mm-hmm. But I really hope that through this show, it's someone that people get interested in again, because he's a fascinating figure.
Yeah. The other thing that, I mean, this is like the strange connection I have to it, but somehow I'm related to Mary Surratt. I don't understand. It's what my family always talks about. It's like a thing, because on my mom's side. So the thing is that we're related to the first woman ever legally executed in the United States. It's sort of become my family's thing. We shouldn't necessarily brag about it, but we do. And so that got me thinking, like, is there anything from this? I mean, you probably learned a lot of new things, but anything particularly that you were like particularly surprised by in doing this show?
I think the thing that really struck me was just, it was the newness of the nation. You know, that it wasn't really, it hadn't quite been all knitted together properly. Mm-hmm. And that it was still so raw. And these men were carving this country out of the rock in a way. And yeah, I guess, you know, now America, you know, we've been through like 100 years of, you know, incredible American dominance. You know, it's such a powerful country in our world. And to sort of go back to a story where that isn't the case, it's being birthed in some way. Mm-hmm. I was very moved by that. And therefore, and that ties into the type of men that were doing that work. And the kind of breadth of them, the intellectual kind of rigor of them, the energy levels, how much it took out of them. You know, both Lincoln and Stanton lost children. Stanton was not a well man. Yes, that's how hard it was. Mm-hmm. And how much was at stake, and how, yeah, it was just at moments in this story, it's riding on a knife edge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the political and physical reality of the United States is a sort of a given now. And yeah, it was interesting putting ourselves back into a world where that's not a given.
Yeah.
And trying to sort of tell the story of how some of that journey was made and who made that journey.
Mm-hmm. And with Stanton too, I mean, he's such an interesting, he reminds me of my stepfather, someone who doesn't speak much, but when he speaks, it's sort of like, okay, you should listen. And he doesn't seem like a fun dude to go to brunch with, but he does seem like a really interesting dude to learn things from. And I wanted to know sort of like, how did you discover how you were going to portray Stanton?
Yes, it was a mixture of kind of intuition, a lot of reading. But yes, I think I'm glad you say that. It was exactly where I ended up feeling he was this, a man who, as you say, not kind of jovial, not a naturally sort of social animal, not someone you want to have dinner with, but someone you do want in your corner when it gets really rough. And so that kind of, yeah, it's like a universal quality, a kind of everyman, but in that way, it feels like a period piece, because we don't have many political figures like that, you know, will not bend their beliefs to anyone.
I mean, the other thing, too, that surprised me is that, I mean, this era is just known for men's facial hair. And it is just, I mean, the weirdest era in American history. I'm sure the UK had it, too. But I mean, the facial hair budget must have been huge on this show. Are you excited that you were able to escape all the facial hair?
Because yeah, it was one of the larger. It was a kind of quite a scary decision to make. But obviously, when people Google Stanton, the main image that comes up is these very whiskery photos of him. I guess I just kind of intuited that's going to be a very, sort of distracting load of facial hair to look at for 7 hours. And in a, just structurally in terms of the story, I am the man that has to sort of guide the audience through this complicated story. Mm-hmm. And so I just, yes, I took a sort of the decision to clean that up.
Mm-hmm. And it also, sense. I mean, it also helped, I think, and I think you're right, it helped sort of help, it helps your character to stand out, to know where we're looking for this person. Where is this person in the room? Because it's the cleanest shaved face, so at least I know where my eyes are going to go first, you know?
And yeah, I think so. Because, you know, in that regard, I think we were leaning towards, you know, the conspiracy, political, crime thriller sort of genre in that regard. And I think he did need to be the Humphrey Bogart of the story in a way that yeah. we can, someone who you can trust and we want by our side as we go through this rapidly changing and shifting sands of the story.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I really took from just watching everything that I watched, and that, like, even though it is an emotional historical drama, I mean, this is an emotional, any American at least watching this is going to have an emotional connection to this period and this time. And but yet it also kind of does. You brought up Humphrey Bogart, and I thought of like old detective stories and even just like, you know, British crime stories, too. Those sort of great detectives. There is that element of, this is kind of like a true crime situation. Like, this is like, this is feeding my true crime niche that I need, you know?
It's absolutely. I mean, I very much think that's what Monica wanted to weave together, was the larger political story of that time and the loss of Reconstruction, but with the kind of propulsive energy of a crime thriller. Mm-hmm. And so weave those two, you know, so that we can hopefully reach as wide an audience as possible with, I think, you know, this really important story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually remembering now, when I was working on it, a real touchstone for me actually was Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. I was like, I think that's the kind of stoical figure that the story needs at the heart of it. And so, yeah, I was magpieing from kind of different American archetypes in a way to sort of build him.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you're looking for an American archetype, that's Atticus Finch is definitely one we look to for everything, basically.
Solid in the chaos.
Yeah, know? Yeah. No kid can escape any education here without knowing everything about Atticus Finch. So that's definitely a touch point. The other thing that I whenever I watch a period drama like this, you know, I'm of course gripped by the story, and I love period dramas are definitely my thing. Like, I love them. But I also am like, wow, these people must have smelled. Like, this is not, this must have been not a very good, you know, scent moment. And I wanted to know, that always makes me then think, like, how much of sort of being in this mix and doing a show like this, that do you allow, I don't think you smelled, but do you think realism gets into sort of, how deep do you go into the character to really feel like you're in the moment?
It's a really good question. I think I would prioritize kind of emotional, intellectual, moral truths of the story above the practical stuff of, you know, what sort of food did they eat? And
yeah.
But if that's on offer, I think it can be really helpful, certainly as an actor. Sometimes it's a luxury, you don't quite have enough time for it, you know, at moments, because of the kind of stringencies of a shoot. But they, you know, we were very well supported in that regard by the production. You know, there's a lot of detail in the props and in, you know, I think for a lot of people it was a real passion project, and that included all the different sort of props teams and production teams and set design and all that. A lot of love was poured into that. So we were every day arriving at these sets, and they were, yeah, very rich, very detailed, and gave us so much to sort of play against.
Yeah, no, definitely. And the other thing, too, people watching this, I mean, they're going to recognize you from lots of different stuff. But I think most recently, they're going to recognize you from The Crown. And since The Crown ended and you won an Emmy, very rightfully won an Emmy for your performance on The Crown, I wanted to know, like, how do you think that series will be remembered, and your work on the series, too?
I mean, yes, always wary to speak to the future. I don't know. I mean, I think it's obviously had a very big cultural impact over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, however long it's been running. And in a sort of sometimes not uncomplicated way, I think a lot of people have sort of taken their history from that show. And yes. It's obviously it's not exactly history. It's, you know, it's a retelling and a Peter Morgan's reimagining what happens in those rooms and behind those doors. But I think what Peter did very well was bring us emotionally close to that family and also dig into a deep consideration of what is that institution, mm-hmm. and what is it to have, you know, a family and personal relationships within this very arcane structure. I think that will probably last because it's maybe the first drama to sort of do that, to kind of, because the drama doesn't seek to take a side in a way about the royal family. It just goes, let's take this institution seriously and consider it. And that, I felt, has been a good and fruitful contribution to the kind of political debate.
And, well, then my last question for you is, you're currently in, and as this goes up, you'll be in the last days of your run in The Hunt, which you've been with for a while now, I think, in various iterations. What can you tell us about the show? But also, do you think it will go anywhere else after this Brooklyn run?
So, I mean, yes, I will be at St. Anne's Warehouse February and March in Brooklyn, Warehouse Theatre in Brooklyn. And we're doing a show that I did just before the pandemic called The Hunt, which is an adaptation of a Thomas Vinterberg film of the same name. It's a show that I'm very proud of. And St. Anne's were very interested in doing the show when we did it in the summer 19. And then obviously the pandemic and the sort of world fell apart a bit. But anyway, we've managed to revive it. And so we're bringing it. And I would encourage anyone to come down. I think it's a fascinating story. I think one, again, similarly, I would argue to Manhunt, speaks to the sort of cultural and political moment. In terms of The Hunt, it's about who decides what the truth is, I think. Mm. When a statement is made or an accusation is made, how do a group navigate those and divine the truth or falsity within that? And, you know, in terms of, you know, what's going on with sort of fake news in the sort of political conversation, the power of the group and the fact that it can sometimes choose to believe things that are not real. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting story to be telling at the moment. And
Do you think it'll go anywhere else after the March closing date?
I would love it to, but we would need some money. So if there's any entrepreneurs who want to give us a theater, then we'd be happy to do some more of it. But yeah, we're excited to do it, to take it to America. We're very excited to do it again. And if anything, I think feeling even better now than, you know, we've been rehearsing last couple of weeks. It's feeling really good. So I'm excited for audiences to see it.
Yeah. Well, I think after people watch Manhunt, they're going to want to see more of what you do. So I think The Hunt is definitely going to be eagerly desired. Well, thank you so much to Tobias. I really do appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Really enjoyed talking with you.
Let me know what you thought of today's episode. I'm H. Allen Scott on everything. And leave a little rating and review wherever you're listening to this. I really would appreciate it, and it does help it a lot. For the latest news and podcasts, head to Newsweek.com and follow Newsweek on all the social platforms. And while you're at Newsweek, go on and subscribe to my newsletter, For the Culture. Until then, watch something fun and have a great day.